Right. Into the meat of the agenda then. We're now going to be briefed on energizing Kowloon East and the environmentally friendly linkage system. I think for this item we have with us Jimmy Chan, Principal Assistant Secretary for Works, Jacinta Wu, and Mrs. Lee from Deputy Project Manager Kowloon. Jimmy, are you going to brief us?
Yes, thank you, Chairman.
Thank you.
May I first give a very brief introduction, and then my colleagues Sarais and also Jacinta, they will present a PowerPoint to brief members on the Energizing Kowloon East initiative. Let me start by saying that the chief executive in his policy address for the 2011-12 announced the we will adopt a visionary coordinated and integrated approach to expedite the transformation of Kowloon East into an attractive and alternative core business district to support Hong Kong's economic development. And to facilitate the transformation, we have prepared a conceptual master plan for the transformation. Jacinta will give us a very brief introduction to the conceptual master plan, followed by Sarais, who will describe about the one of the internal transportation network, the environmental friendly linkage system to us. And so, Jacinta, please.
Thank you, Jimmy. Before I go on to talk about the conceptual master plan, I'd like to give members some brief background on the office development in Hong Kong. In the past 30 years, we have seen a steady supply of office space in Hong Kong. Between 1980 to year 2000, we see the office supply doubles every 10 years. But from year 2000 to 2010, the increase in supply is also about 18%. So if we take a closer look at the office supply, we will reveal that in the past 10 years, the space for expansion in the traditional CBD is very limited. And the CBD had only a very marginal increase of about 4% in the past 10 years, whereas we see a marked increase in office supply in the Kwun Tong and Kowloon Bay area. The office space in that district increased from 0.4 to 1.4 million. So due to a limited space for expansion in the traditional CBD, we must come up with a long-term office development strategy. Under the Hong Kong 2030 study, we have proposed to consolidate the traditional CBD and relocate some of the government offices away from the existing CBD. And most of all, we have to develop new office nodes outside the traditional CBD. And so far, we have adopted several measures in response to the economic change in the past 10 years, including rezoning of industrial land to business use. And in Kwun Tong and Kowloon Bay, we have already rezoned 68 hectares of land to business use. And in the last year, we have also introduced measures to incentivize revitalization of industrial buildings. This has proved quite successful, especially in the Kwun Tong and Kowloon Bay area as well. And the government has also initiated sale of commercial and business sites. So to increase office supply, in the in this year's policy address, you are all aware that the chief executive has announced that we must develop another core business district, which is in Kowloon East. And when we talk about Kowloon East, we include Kai Tak Development Area and the old industrial areas of Kwun Tong and Kowloon Bay. And what we see in terms of development potential in these two areas, first of all, you all know that we have the Kai Tak development, which will be developed into a vibrant community with a population of about 19,000 people. And the non-domestic GFA, which include office, hotel, and retail uses, will come up to about 2 million square meters, and also include government offices in the government office clusters. So the Kai Tak development will provide the catalyst for regeneration of Kowloon East. In fact, in the old Kwun Tong and Kowloon Bay area itself, we have already seen the first mover of private development, and the completed office GFA in this area is about 1.4 million square meters. And we see a lot of high-grade office buildings as well as retail centers gradually developed in this area. And according to a survey conducted by the planning department in 2010, we found that about 80% of the business establishments in the Kwun Tong and Kowloon Bay area are actually located in industrial buildings, but performing mainly office or office-related functions. And out of these establishments in industrial buildings, about 60% of these establishments are actually newcomers to the area, and 24% were actually moved from the traditional CBD. So from there, we see great potential in developing a core business district in Kowloon East, and we have initially mapped out a conceptual master plan based on the concept of connectivity, branding, design, and diversity, which is the CBD2 concept. In the conceptual master plan, we have identified some solution spaces which in the short term could facilitate the transformation of Kowloon East, and it includes 2 action areas and 9 government sites which are considered to be underdeveloped or undeveloped government sites. First of all, the action area 1 is strategically located right at the center of the 3 districts, and we propose to relocate the existing facilities such as the waste recycling center and vehicle examination centers to release some 6.4 hectares of government land for the development of a new vibrant node, with the proposed the environmentally friendly linkage system station and depot in this area. We think that this area could be developed into a new nook, including office, retail, hotel, and conference facilities. And the action area 2 is actually located near the Kwun Tong Ferry Pier, right by the waterfront. It has great potential for tourism-related development to complement the development in the Kai Tak runway tip, which is just opposite across the Kai Tak channel. We propose to deck over the existing bus terminus to provide public open space as well as outdoor performance area. And a station of the proposed EFLS is also proposed at this location to connect the area, the Kwun Tong area, with Kai Tak. There are also 9 government sites within the Kowloon Bay and Kwun Tong area, which we will review the land uses to see how it can complement the development of the area. To ensure the success of the Kowloon East development, we think that improving the inter- and intra-district connection is very important. And CEDD is exploring the EFLS option, which we will talk about later, the connection between Kai Tak and the 2 proposed action areas and Kowloon East CBD will be linked up by this EFLS. And also, through the existing MTR and the proposed Sha Tin to Central Link, we will link up the Kowloon East CBD with the other CBDs, such as Central and Tsim Sha Tsui. And the EFLS will also link up major tourism attractions, open spaces, and generate synergy within the Kowloon East development. So apart from the EFLS, we also propose to enhance major pedestrian connections, basically between the existing MTR stations and the waterfront through the business district. which include a few streets such as Lanhua Street in Kowloon Bay, the Hoyun Road, and the Lai Yip Street in Kun Tong. In fact, a footbridge system has already been proposed by the private sector, and the government has facilitated the improvement of the pedestrian linkages, and this will be about 550 meters long pedestrian walkway system, and it will be it has already been authorized in February this year, and it will be constructed by the developer. And to enable the vision of an all-day and all-week vibrant district, we need to inject more variety of uses, including leisure uses, such as water sports and marina facilities. Consideration will also be given to preserve some of the industrial heritage buildings to provide a diversity in the design. And to bring more people to the area in the short term, and to change the perception of an old industrial area, work has already started on a zero carbon emission building and open space at the former Construction Industry Council training ground in Kowloon Bay. And the building is scheduled to be completed in mid 2012. We will also enhance the streetscape of the area through greening and better urban design, and to upgrade existing open space. And most of all, we will develop a 11 kilometers long continuous waterfront promenade from Kun Tong to To Kwa Wan. And throughout the planned implementation process, we will address the water-land interface issue to integrate the land uses between the waterfront land and the use of the harbour. And how will we achieve our vision? We have to face the challenge, particularly the fragmented ownership, which will present a major obstacle for the speedy redevelopment and wholesale conversion of the industrial buildings in this area. Our next step is to set up a new Kowloon East Development Office, which will steer and monitor this strategic development of Hong Kong and provide a one-stop advisory service to private sector, as well as to coordinate department's efforts in facilitating the transformation of Kowloon East. And now for details of the EFLS, I would like to pass to surveys to brief members.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jacinta. Befitting Kitech's green vision, there is a rail-based environmentally friendly linkage system included in the Kitech Outline Songling Plan approved by the Chief Executive in Council in 2007, subject to further studies and investigation. And on the OEZP, you can see that the reserved alignment mainly runs within the Kitech area, which is for internal circulation and bringing the only connection with the planned Sha Tin to Central Link. We have carried out a feasibility study on EFLS for the past 2 years, and our investigation reveals that an elevated rail-based link in the form of a monorail serving the KTD will not only enhance the connectivity to the adjacent districts, it will also provide a catalytic effect to regenerate Kowloon Bay and Kun Tong into a central business district. The proposed EFLS is a monorail, elevated monorail system with a very simple alignment network. It's just a line network. The total length is about 9 kilometers with 12 stations. And you can see these alignments link up with the existing MTR stations, starting from the Kowloon Bay MTR station and then running along Wong Kwang Road through the station square and then passing through the sports hubs the Metro Park, all the way down to the one-way tube, and then across the Kwun Tong Typhoon Shelter, or the approach channel, and then link off back to the Kwun Tong MTR station, either via the Hoi Yun Street or the King Yip Street. We estimated in 2031, the EFLS will attract 0.2 million passengers per day. The proposed monorail is a system with no carbon emission along its passage. It will consume much less energy than the normal diesel buses. With its uniqueness, we believe that it will have a very high tourism appeal. The proposed EFLS will play a very important role in the transformation of the Kowloon East into a CBD. With its connection with the existing MTR station, as well as the proposed Sha Tin to Central Link station, the Kai Tak station, the Kowloon East CBD can be connected with other CBDs in the territory. And the proposed alignment also link up Kai Tak commercial business developments with the two proposed action areas, as well as the rest of the Kowloon East CBD. It will act as a very convenient intra-district connectors. The alignment also passed through all the major tourism attractions and open spaces within the area, and we believe that it will generate synergy effect for development. Here we have produced some photo montages of the EFLS along its alignment. Here you can see the proposed EFLS along Hoi Yun Road with the pedestrian walkway underneath the EFLS. The next one is we call this Kwun Tong Transportation Link, which is the one of the sections across the approach channel. Another view is on the above the elevated walkway. You can see the EFLS on top of it. And the last one is at the station square. You may hardly see it. It's along here. So as I've said, we have a section of the alignment across the approach channel, and we call it the Kwun Tong Transportation Link. We need a minimum vertical clearance of 21 meter in order to pass over the existing Kwun Tong bypass in the form of a bridge. And the bridge will accommodate EFLS and pedestrian crossing. And we are also exploring to incorporate a cycle track along it. And we believe that it will produce a synergy effect on the development of Kai Tak as well as Kwun Tong District. However, if we are going to impose a height restriction on this linkage, then it may affect some of the cargo lighters with high mask. We believe that about two-thirds of the existing cargo lighters using the Kwun Tong Typhoon Shelter will be affected. If we are going to allow passage of all marine vessels to cross to use the Kwun Tong Typhoon Shelter, then we might need a vertical clearance of about 40 to 50 meter high, which will result in a man-mouth bridge structure. It will not only incur higher construction costs, it will have a major visual intrusion. And we are now exploring whether there are opportunities to divert all the affected cargo lighters. And we are also exploring other uses of the Kwun Tong Typhoon Shelter, for example, for water sports or leisure activities. And we will consult the public in the coming public consultation exercise. And to take into account interface with other projects in Kai Tak, the earliest possible commissioning year of the whole EFLS will be in 2023. So before we have the EFLS, we plan to have other road-based environmentally friendly transport modes to serve the development. Our next step is to consult the public on EFLS, and we will consult the public starting from early next year, and we will also consult the task force on Kai Tak Harbourfront Development of Harbourfront Commission in early 2023. And that's end my presentation. Thank you.
you very much. Thank you. Very comprehensive. Thank you. I imagine members will have questions or points they want to make. Temptation, of course, is to redesign the whole of Kai Tak. Just remember, we are the Harbourfront Commission, and it's our interest is primarily water's edge and water, although obviously comments on the general design would be welcome, I'm sure. Can I just ask one question? What we'll do is we'll stack up the questions, if we may, and then you can answer collectively in a minute. Just one question from me, and that is the timing of the environmentally friendly linkage system. 2023, I think you said, for completion. That essentially would mean erecting it through a lot of completed development, very disruptive. One can envisage that Kai Tak will remain a construction site, if you like, until 2023 if we're not careful. Why is that element so long delayed? Why can't it be advanced? That's just one question from me. Don't answer it yet. We'll stack up the questions, as I say. I just wonder why that project is so long in the future. Members, anything people want to say? Comments? PY? Sure. Yes, dual language, no problems. 環保的交通運輸系統其實原則上都很贊成的，但是我覺得如果說要起動或者加強九龍東的商業發展作為一個新名叫CBD，它對外的聯繫交通其實更加重要的，只是一個內區乃至觀塘的一個環，其實幫助不大的。 因為商業的流通，即是人的交通，因為現在你搭下去的九龍灣和觀塘站，不說，現在其實你不知道有沒有出去看看，在繁忙時間，逼到人都上不了車，所以再搭下去就增加負荷。第二，它亦都要轉幾次車都去不到中環。你搭下沙中線有一段時間通車，沙中線去到金鐘，你就算將來港島北一條線，又要轉多次車。 所以你如果沙中線如果再去到土瓜灣，我唔知叫咩名咧，第日嗰條紅磡即係出去嗰條叫做九觀塘延線咧，都係去到油麻地，咁啊仲弊，都唔知轉幾多次。咁所以我喺第二啲場合都講過啦，即係如果要起動呢個東九龍或者九龍東嘅商業嘅樞紐咧，其實應該博通嗰個經脈，即係東西九龍，即係去到即係西九龍。西九龍因為亦都有一個商業中心喺嗰個。 即係高鐵嗰個站，亦都係一個文藝區文化區。咁呢個聯繫其實係好重要嘅。咁即係有人提出這個倫敦嗰個金絲獎碼頭嗰個例子啊。咁其實即係嗰個正正係嗰個反面教材，因為金絲獎碼頭早期發展係唔成功嘅，那個聯繫，直至到嗰個倫敦嗰個金禧線，即係去機場嗰個集體運輸系統通車之後，先至起死回生。咁所以我覺得即係話。
呢個東九龍係真係有好多潛力，啲私人發展做緊好多嘢，但係政府要做一啲嘢咧，就幫助佢咧，即係提升佢嗰個重要性咧。當然，即係呢個單軌火車呢個咧係會提升嗰個形象啦，咁但係喺嗰個效率上咧，其實就唔係好高。咁同埋搭落去即係呢個現有嗰個集體運輸系統咧，我唔知阿 Solis 各位咧有冇計過啲數嘅，即係而家即係個負荷係好重。 其實即係東九龍，其實或者九龍東咧，應該咧除咗搭去西九龍之外，其實由九龍至香港嗰個過海嗰個咧，其實即係照我預見咧，覺得應該仲爭咗一個 Harbour Crossing， 即係過海嘅系統，比一個隧道又好，軌道又好，公路又好，即係直至去通翻呢個譬如呢個鰂魚涌，佢亦都係一個商業嘅樞紐嚟嘅，咁所以。 即係有讚有彈，即係呢個系統係一個好嘅構想，但係就未夠好。唔該。
All right, concerns about external connectivity, and then is the monorail the most appropriate mode of in-region transportation? Please, Andy.
主席啊，我都講廣東話啦。其實我諗。 即係未講細節之前咧，我想睇翻個概念啫。因為其實咧，就而家睇翻啊 CBD2 呢個概念咧，就即係而家即係都講咗就話，除咗涵括啟德而家發展區、新發展區之外咧，其實我諗我哋都係最主要睇翻就話九龍灣同埋觀塘啦。咁其實我諗喺而家呢個即係政府呢個概念嚟講咧，除咗嗰、那個EFLS 那個元素之外呢，其實我想我看不到一些實質的一些即是 physical 的概念。因為其實呢大家都知道就說九龍灣、觀塘其實這兩個傳統以前的工業區呢，就不嬲而家呢就啲私人大部分呢，我想絕大部分的地呢都是在私人即是私人物業的，即是私人的土地、全部都是可能是經過一個而家由工業轉型做商業或者係寫字樓嘅一個轉型之中啦，咁亦都係已經發生緊嘅啦。咁其實我覺得如果 CBD2 咧，如果冇一個核心或者冇一個 focal point 咧，或者冇一個 cluster 喺度咧，其實好難形成一個所謂 CBD 嘅。基本上嚟講，如果你話大家去睇住話成個九龍灣或者觀塘咧，其實我就唔知道。即係喺規劃署或者係政府方面有冇啲實質啲嘅 proactive 嘅 planning 咧，就可以即係 trigger 呢一個所謂一個 CBD 嘅一個形成。因為如果唔係嘅話咧，我諗始終嚟講就我睇唔到喺而家呢一即係絕大部分嘅土地係私人擁有嘅情況之下，都可能有啲土地嚟講咧係已經係業權分散嘅情況之下咧，政府點可以凝聚到一個 CBD2？ 咁其實我諗再有一個再。即係 radical 嘅概念，就係話隔離喺啟德嘅地方有啲而家係，雖然當然啦，大家我諗知道話啟德嗰個規劃咧都已經係進行咗咁多年。如果大家覺得係一個較為 proactive 嘅一個 planning 咧，喺個 CBD 嚟講咧，其實係咪應該睇翻而家都為時未晚嘅，喺啟德嗰度可以即係有一個大啲嘅一個規模嘅 proactive 嘅 planning， rather 定我哋就咁喺即係九龍灣同埋喺。在觀塘，因為其實我覺得九龍灣和觀塘其實我想除非政府有一些很即係創意的一些鼓勵性的，譬如你話好像 wholesale conversion 話不用補地價或者補少啲地價咁嘅情況嚟鼓勵啲私人物業轉寫字樓，如果唔係我好懷疑其實依家呢個 CBD2 呢個概念可唔可以形成咯？啊，多謝主席。
All right, suggestion we should be bolder in our proposals, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I just want to ask him a question. I see that this whole plan is linked on over nine square kilometers, and basically all the stops are actually covering the masses of the site. I want to go back to timing again and get a better understanding on how the phases are developed, because the success of this is really linkage. And I think the advantage of having this system on the first floor is that it can also enhance the commercial value of the development. For example, you can, for commercial development, you can get first floor rents for the same income as a ground floor rental. So for example, the linkage of, you said that it will take until 2023. Is that because it's all the development is developing along the linkage based on the phasing of the development of the whole area?So could you maybe elaborate a little bit on the phasing, and is the linkage, so-called the different stop developed as a different area of the CBD2 is developed? And maybe you can elaborate more on the phasing development in comparison to your linkage.
Thank you. Winston?
Chairman, I think we are talking about two entirely different concepts. The first one is decentralization of the central business district.By sporadic scattered development all over East Kowloon. However, the alternative is what I call the Canary Wharf approach, which is a focused, concentrated, prestigious development. It is my considered view that the large corporations and banks will not be attracted to different areas where you have a commercial building industrial building convert into commercial.It doesn't do anything. Therefore, to meet with the requirement of attracting large operations and banks and so on to a new business district, it must be prestigious. To achieve that, you need to achieve a critical mass of at least a dozen new commercial buildings, supported by commercial facilities, restaurants, maybe hotels, and so on. It's got to be planned, very focused. And for that reason, you will need to increase the GFA around the mass transit stations, right next to the government cluster. Another requirement, and that's the third one. The first is prestigious. Secondly, there must be a critical mass. The third one is, as has been pointed out, it must be very well served by transportation. Must be. So we are talking about a second business district. These are the factors to bear in mind. What government is trying to do is just calling it a second business district, whereas it is not. The existing plan seems to be just all over the place. Doesn't do anything. It's not bad. Still a good idea. But it does not achieve what Hong Kong really needs, which is something to attract the large corporations away from Central. Thank you.
All right. Suggestion, you should be more ambitious in terms of your plans and proposals. Please, Francis.
Mr. Chairman, the Marine Department had raised the point about the EFLS, the height at 21 meters would affect the usage of diving shelter presently used by some commercial vessels, and with that height, some 80% of the current usage would be affected. So the Cargo Vessel Traders Association and the related association had written to the government about this point. So with this height, I hope, you know, during the consultation period, our committees will also be consulted, and other relevant association will be consulted.
All right. Concerns about the height of the bridge. Why don't you let us have some of your initial reactions and responses, and I'll come back to other members for their questions in a minute. Who's going to lead? Will you? All right. Thank you.
Okay. A few points. I'll leave the EFLS to Suresh to respond. About the external connection, you know, since the announcement of this initiative, we have met a number of stakeholders, and the most important or obvious response that or comments that we receive is the connection, both within the Kowloon East, this area, and also the external connection. And so in the development of the, or the, when we develop this Energizing Kowloon East initiative, we were sure that this will be taken into account in one way or the other. And about the use of the decentralization of the existing central business district, and our objective is to create the or transforming this Kowloon East into a prestigious business district. The way we do it is to try to have a sufficient infrastructure within the area that can attract a large business or a prestigious international business to move into this area. And about the whether we have any focal points, in fact, we in our slide we have presented two action areas. One of them is located at the I think in the center of this Kowloon East area. This is an area that is now a government land. If we can move away the existing facility, government facilities, including the vehicle examination center and also the recycling facilities there, there is a high potential that this area can be one of the focal points that some of the members has raised that to kickstart this development. So, Suresh, can you elaborate some on the phasing and also the program, why we need to wait until 2023 to have
just the before we move on to the monorail, just a comment about critical mass. That, I mean, a couple of people said they don't think you have enough critical mass in terms of the quantum of development that you're proposing, particularly in terms of commercial space.
And in, As the slide we have already presented, some of the areas before we introduced this or announced this Energizing Kowloon East initiative, some of the business has already moved into this area in their on their own initiative. And if we can, as we plan, to have all the facilities to beautify the area, to have the fill in the diversity in this area, and also to improve the linkage both within and also between the from this central this or this Kowloon East area to the other CBDs. We are confident that we can attract more business to create the critical mass required to do this, have this transformation happen.
Okay, thank you. Monorail, please.
Thank you, Chairman. First of all, your question is the reason why it takes so long to have the EFLS. According to our estimation, we have to take into account the interfaces of other projects within Kai Tak. For example, we are affected by the program of the Sha Tin to Central Link, which will complete it by the end of 2018 at the current program. And it normally take about 3 to 4 years for the construction of a rail system. And we also have to take into account the need, the time we have to allow it for relocation of existing facilities. For example, in area in the Action Area 1, we propose to have the EFLS depot at that location. And existing site is now occupied by vehicle examination centers as well as a waste recycling center. We need to find places to relocate these facilities, and it will take quite some time. And there is one question on about the phasing of developments for the linkage. And we will phase the development of the EFLS, but to make it work, we have to complete the whole the whole section before we can really use the EFLS, because we need the depot for the operation. And there is another question about the external connectivity, because in our presentation we only talk about the rail connection. Bear in mind that we do have road connections with the exterior areas. For example, we have the planned central Kowloon route, we have the trunk road T2, i.e. the route 6, which helps the traffic circulation within the Kowloon East area. And we have to look at the transport or the traffic issues from different hierarchies to within the districts. We will improve the walkway system, we will improve the pedestrian environment to encourage people to walk within the Kowloon East area. And within the for the intra-district, we have the EFLS, and we also have other road-based public transport to serve the area. And for external, not only we have the connection with the existing MTR line and also the planned Sha Tin to Central Link, we also have a road-based linkage to the whole territories. So at the moment, we think from different hierarchies, we do have a series of traffic improvement measures to improve the traffic condition in the in this area.
Could you just answer one other question which was raised? Why a monorail? What other forms of people movement have you looked at?
Well, we have a study APM as well, the rubber tire system, but we think a monorail system is a more, you know, have a more light structures. You can have more flexibility in its design, the outline, the outlook. And also, if you look at the proposed alignment network, which is very, very simple, which is just a line network, which is very suitable for the adoption of monorail.
Thank you. Please, Becky. We'll stack up the questions again if we can.
Okay, thank you. Well, I think this Energizing Kowloon East is a very good initiative, but
As a transport researcher, I think I would comment on the monorail, but I'm afraid that I'm actually very negative on this. And I think we have to, at least in the public engagement exercise, to look at three major issues. The first one, actually monorail is no new technology, and I cannot see, it's very simple, I cannot see how it can become a tourism attraction. In the 1960s, 1980s, yes. The tram, yes, because of historical reason, but nobody would go there for the monorail as a tourist attraction, I think. The second thing is transport-wise. Monorail is visually intrusive, and I think most importantly, it's very noisy, especially if you have residential buildings nearby. It requires a high clearance and station design, while alternative would be like bus rail system that we have in a lot of Chinese cities, which is environmentally friendly. We can use electric bus. But we don't have bus rapid transit in Hong Kong. The third point, I think, a monorail is, you know, I think a lot of members have raised that it's very expensive. It has very long lag time. And when we look in 15 to 20 years for the system upgrade, well, it would not be flexible. And like we would have similar problems when we look at the light rail system, for example, in Tin Shui Wai, and people are having, you are stuck with a monopoly who have to provide the maintenance. But if you have rapid bus transit, it's much more flexible, earlier availability. And I think that should be seriously considered by the administration and also to ask the public about these issues. Thank you.
All right. Comments on monorail. Vincent?
Thank you, Chairman. I'll speak in Cantonese. Right. 多謝主席。 其實我就唔係講個 monorail， 其實我就很歡迎這個九龍東的做法，我其實就在看究竟海濱事務委員會在這個範疇裏面其實有多少東西是我們可以集中討論的，因為其實它是複雜過海濱很多的。如果你說看九龍東這個範圍，對比我們過去一直我自己做主席的啟德專責小組，其實海濱的範圍是沒有大到的。 其實九龍東對比啟德，根本海濱的範圍根本就一直已經在啟德那個小組那裡一直在看著。既然如果九龍東有這樣的新的願景的時候，可能我們要去考慮就是說現在我們那個海濱發展怎樣可以去成就，就是這個九龍東，作為一個incentive給九龍東的發展。所以我就看到那個 既然如果我們有這麼大的願景的時候，那個海濱計劃和那個設計其實是更加變成重要。他怎樣可以幫助到，譬如日後那些在上班的人，可以有更好的設施，譬如有食物，有個大草地給他坐下來看著他可以吃飯盒，因為當這裡不再是工廠的時候，我們這些公共空間怎樣可以成為去支援這些第日在上班一族有個好的環境呢？ 這個我覺得是很重要。既然講開啟德和整個九龍東，主席，我其實有一個問題，因為我覺得啟德是一個很大的進步，當它有一個獨立的啟德 office 去專注看這個地方，我亦都是很贊成九龍東應該是有一個九龍東的 office 去整體做個統籌。我想 我們過去都學習了很多經驗，當我們去新加坡看 URA 做 Marina Bay 的時候，它一個機構一個 agency 一手抓住所有的東西，它不會由規劃去到城市設計、小區設計、賣地、建築管理、營運，去到推廣那個品牌。我想知道的就是其實政府有些對於這個九龍東的辦事處， 其實他是想他是做了些什麼，以及他的組成是怎樣，而他跟啟德辦事處又有些什麼 overlap， 或是取代了啟德，這個我其實想了解一下。多謝主席。
All right, questions about the office and implementation. Peter?
Yes, I think, of course, it is a bit difficult to comment merely on the harbourfront issues here. I think not only should we maybe review, calling this a CBD2, I don't think it is in any way. It's not central for a start. Also, in terms of the distribution of business development, it's really quite disparate. It's really a matter really of trying to reconcile and service a number of quite different areas. And of course, to consolidate development in Kowloon Bay and Kwantong, just as we're trying to link it through to an entirely new commercial centre in Kai Tak. In fact, really, all these areas, I would have thought we should be terming secondary commercial centres. I'm a little bit worried. I know I'm drifting away from the waterfront itself, but I think within the new framework, and it is a new framework, we were talking simply about Kai Tak, now we're talking about a much larger area, and it is a very, very large area here that is very disparate. I think in terms of the core of commercial development in Kai Tak, when I actually look at it around the Kai Tak station, it's difficult to see. I think if you're designing a new commercial centre, I don't think you're designing anything like that given the new commercial framework. So I think we need to question that. I would have thought that there's a good case for reconsidering the current commercial disposition in Kai Tak, both to reflect the functional and urban design requirements. I think on the MTR, on the elevated transit route, the monorail, I am supportive. I mean, I think really it is the one thing that will act to link this, to consolidate the area together, to link these very disparate areas. I did wonder if any consideration had been given to making it a loop system. It's certainly not going to work as any kind of tourist system, if in fact that's partly what we're building it for. If it links into one MTR station at one end and an MTR station at the other end, it doesn't form a loop, but of course it very rightly does connect into the MTR stations. And lastly, really carrying on from Vince's point, I really wondered if we should be looking at a Kowloon East task force rather than a Kai Tak task force. No.
Expand your remit. All right. please, Suki, please.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I try to see the Kowloon East as well as the monorail from the harbourfront development perspective. Initially, the monorail simply served the Kai Tak development area. It's a very high-quality working area, high-quality living area, as well as a high-quality area with a lot of leisure entertainment. But with the monorail, actually, we are talking about providing access to the adjoining communities. For example, the Kwantong area, which is undergoing the urban renewal. Now, we are going to make those areas, the waterfront area, accessible to the old community. This is socially, I think, is we are connecting the new with the old, providing good access to the old residents, to enjoy the same sort of quality of services, jobs in the Kai Tak area. That's socially speaking. Now, environmentally speaking, obviously, the planning department mentioned about a lot of low carbon emission merits, environmentally speaking. But economically speaking, I would like to see the success of the cruise terminal. If that cruise terminal is going to be a major success to escalate, to elevate the status of Kai Tak, I would expect the Kwantong area, the Kowloon Bay area, there will be plenty of new job opportunities and new business opportunities that would energize the old industrial area into a vibrant business area, not just for the office development, but maybe for other design jobs to be generated to support the cruise terminal development. I share the comment of the other members in terms of the timing, because if the government is hoping to elevate the Kowloon East as a very important central area, I don't mean to replace CBD in central, but at least as a kind of supporting area, just to focus on the government action area is not enough. I think we have to, in order to sustain the private sector interest, to put money, to put interest, and to leverage the private sector investment, I think government should advance the monorail project in order to make it a very attractive, iconic, and inspirational to create a vision for the private sector to join hand with the government investment. I know monorail is not a new concept, it's a very old concept, but I think the new technology has changed a lot. And I understand Korea and other countries are investigating the monorail for new technologies to make it very friendly in terms of operation, in terms of design, in terms of planning, and so that it can integrate with the local community. I think that we should explore further in terms of how we can make use of the monorail system to bring the old community into the new community for access. And I hope that system can actually can be extended to other residential communities elsewhere, for example, Tokwa Wan. But obviously, bringing the monorail into the residential area, there will be environmental issues that we need to tackle. And I understand there are a lot of constraints from the mentioned by the planning department regarding the depot, regarding the road transport, the integration, the Sha Tin Central line has to be completed by 2018. Therefore, we have to consider the timing to be after that. But is there other way that we can consider moving that program slightly earlier in order to keep the private sector interest in focus? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is my view. Thank you.
Okay. Another request for to accelerate the transportation system. Maggie?
Thank you. I quite agree that connectivity in this area is absolutely essential. It will never happen without connectivity. So I'm therefore very keen that this connectivity should be in place earlier rather than later. Canary Wharf's been mentioned. I quite agree it was not successful early on because it didn't have the connectivity at the beginning. You put the infrastructure in first, it would have been successful a lot earlier. It was as soon as it was connected into the wider system. I also agree about the wider system. But I must say, I'm with Becky when it comes to monorail. I think this is a very divisive, it's very visually intrusive, and it will completely split Kai Tak in the middle and all the way down the waterfront on the other side.
Okay. All right. Anybody else want to comment? All right. Proponents, would you like just to react and respond?
Thank you.
I'd like to respond to a few points. First, about the more activities or vibrancy in the harbour. And in fact, in the whole Kowloon area, we have planned for a total of 11 kilometres of promenade. And in fact, the first phase of this, we have the Kun Tong Promenade already open to public in last year, and we have the second phase of the Kun Tong Promenade, which subject to the approval of the Finance Committee, we will start work in end of next year, 2012, and we will complete it in about 1 year, 2014, I mean. So this promenade, I think we can have more people to be able to enjoy the harbour along this Kowloon East area. And this promenade will develop eventually to a total length of 11 kilometres. And the important thing is that we need to have the linkage for bringing the people to this promenade. And that's why we also stress very much on the internal linkage within this area. And that's why we propose a number of pedestrian linkage system from the existing railways network, bring the people to the waterfront through this improved pedestrian linkage, improved the streetscape, and also with some footbridge networks. And about the proposed Kai Tak Kowloon East Development Office, it will be a multidisciplinary an office and to steer to and also to coordinate all the matters for to facilitate the development to take place here, in this Kowloon East area. And so it's there to help people, to engage people, to help them how that the transformation can take place. And the differentiation with the Kai Tak office, one very obvious difference between the Kowloon East development other than the Kai Tak is that in the Kai Tak, we are all the area, all the land are government lands, and we have a set of very definitive plan where to build what and when. And so this Kai Tak development, Kai Tak office is there for task to deliver all the projects that have been planned in this Kai Tak area. But for Kowloon East, is most of the area, as members are already mentioned, are private, privately owned. And so the task is totally different. And what the Kowloon East Development Office need to do is they need to take the coordination role to ensure that any development that or any owners, developers who want to develop the land according to our plan, that we can provide all the facility to enable the transformation to take place. And about the alignment of the EFLS, in fact, we have also considered the loop arrangement that, as well as is different from the what we have displayed now, that is linked up to the Kwun Tong MTR station and also the Kowloon Bay area. But we found that the cost effectiveness of adding another stations to complete the loop is not as high as we consider. But as we have just said, we are going to have a public consultation for this EFLS in the beginning of 2012. So there are still options that we can consider the other options in both the alignment and also the mode of this EFLS. And about the action area, I would like to stress that we are not just focusing on the action areas. It is just two action areas, but we also look at the development of the whole area. And so the like the improved transportation network and the improved streetscape of the whole area is also what we plan to do. So it's not just the action areas. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, I mean, I think in fairness to the proponent, I mean, we've always been concerned about linkages, particularly along the along the runway and to the tip of the runway, and then linkages across to Kwun Tong. Setting aside the debate, if you like, about monorail or not monorail, I mean, clearly this proposal enhances connectivity in a major way, and does get people to the water. It does get people to the tip of the runway, and it does engage with the surrounding districts. So, I mean, in that sense, if you look at it on plan, the proposal at large, if you like, I think has a lot to commend it. And you were making the point just now about enhanced connectivity, and I think clearly it does that. Debate will be about the meter, how you achieve that objective. But Mrs. Lam, I think you wanted to say something. Thank you.
First of all, sorry for being late, because we are hosting an international conference this last 2 days. Well, I suspect my colleagues have done a detailed presentation on energizing Kowloon East, which was announced by the chief executive in his final policy address this year on the 12th of October. And I must say that since the announcement 2 months ago, there has been very positive reception to the plan, both in terms of substance and in terms of the government's vision and commitment. There were a few editorials which actually described this energizing Kowloon East as being the best thing that the government has done after reunification. And mind you, this is Hong Kong Economic Journal. It's not one of those quote-unquote leftist newspapers. But we are very practical people. We appreciate that we should not be sort of complacent about the initial reception. There are a lot of hurdles to cross and a lot of difficult areas to tackle. But I just want to start by also addressing a point about connectivity. In the PowerPoint that you have seen, slide 25, we reproduce for members of this commission, which is very important because the then HEC has a task force to look at the Southeast Kowloon, which is now the Kai Tak Outline Zoning Plan, in terms of public engagement. The plan was ultimately agreed by the CENC in November 2007 after a two-year prolonged process. And the reason why it the public engagement was held as one of the best that has been done in recent years, because the one who was doing the plan was very receptive to the views that we received. And so the approved Kai Tak Outline Zoning Plan, whether some people around the table like it or not, has this alignment put onto it, as you can see from this one. That's why it is only proper for the department, in this case CEDD, to undertake a very detailed study on the alignment, on the feasibility, on the modes of transport in order to fulfill this aspiration that we heard clear and loud when we did the Kai Tak Outline Zoning Plan. But you will see that actually this original alignment was very handicapped. It only provides connectivity really just within the Kai Tak area and the adjacent harbourfront area. So the outcome was actually, we felt very strongly that if we were going to invest in an environmentally friendly linkage system, its network has to be expanded. And it was actually because of that and also other factors happening. For example, this escalating rentals in central offices, this urge for more supply of quality offices, particularly from the overseas business community, that we conceived Kowloon East. And also partly because of the initial encouraging results from the revitalization of the industrial buildings in Kowloon Bay and Kwun Tong, that we put all the things together, then we came up with this idea that, okay, perhaps we should be slightly more ambitious and leverage on Kai Tak and the opportunities offered by Kai Tak and the opportunities offered by this alignment in order to provide something that Hong Kong needs in order to continue Hong Kong's economic competitiveness. So that was the rationale behind energizing Kowloon East. And once we started on it, we all agreed that connectivity is the number one issue that we need to tackle. Because right now, Kowloon Bay, Kwun Tong, and in future to Kai Tak is very poorly connected, whether by road, by foot, or whatever way. And one of the crucial pieces of connectivity and linkage is how to connect Kwun Tong, the Kwun Tong Town Central, where we're going to have the biggest ever urban renewal project, and all those revitalized commercial buildings to the tourism node in Kai Tak at the tip of the one runway. And by elimination, there's actually no other alternative, Becky, than this monorail system. Of course, we appreciate that monorail is something that you could only love or hate. There's no middle ground, which the 10 minutes ago, it seems that people either love it or they hate it. So we are very cautious in a sense that we have not yet commenced a full consultation of the EFLS because we want to do more work based on the consultancy findings. So when we started to press the button to consult the public on the EFLS, we would have more data, information, plans to show so that we have an informed debate. But I have to say that, again, very initial response, particularly from the district communities and local people, again, is very positive. Many people actually like having an iconic type of transport in this particular area, which Hong Kong never has in terms of this elevated railway system. But we have an open mind. In fact, we have been asked by the chief executive to have an open mind because this is quite an expensive piece of investment, estimated to cost $12 billion, never able to achieve any rate of return. And lucky enough, we'll be able to break even in terms of the operating cost. So I can assure you that we will be very careful and we will listen very carefully and talk to stakeholders and maybe people from the transport sector and so on before we finally commit on ourselves to this elevated monorail system. But of the several downsides that Becky has mentioned, technology-wise, I will leave it to our next stage of consultation because we actually have looked at many systems around the world about the technology. On the tourism appeal, it's really a matter of love or hate. And on the noisy point, it is exactly because of that that we have rejected demands to go into other areas like Tou Kwa Wan or even Wong Tai Sin, because once you enter into the residential area, it would be almost impossible to do it because of the noise impact. I just want to make a point that Vincent asked about the Kai Tak office and the Kowloon East Development Office. At the moment, again, this is something that is very fluid. We are keeping on thinking to find the best solution. At the moment, they are two separate offices altogether. So it's not a replacement. KEDO is not replacing or subsuming the KTO underneath because the KTO has a very, very distinct mission, which is infrastructure driven. Basically, as Jimmy said, we have an outline zoning plan, just like we have a new town development, we have so many land formation, infrastructure works that we need to do. So Kai Tak office is placed under CEDD that will continue to deliver the various infrastructure in Kai Tak. KEDO, in terms of Kwun Tong and Kowloon Bay, does not have much infrastructure to do. It will be really very modest things like waterfront, landscape, maybe some pedestrian walkways, some pedestrianization. And so we apart from the monorail, which is also under CEDD, we don't actually foresee a lot of infrastructure planning in the KEDO. But what KEDO will do that Kai Tak office does not do at present is PPP. It's public-private partnership. In fact, KEDO will replicate what DOO has been doing in the last 2.5 years. Some of you may be more familiar with this unit called the Development Opportunities Office, which was set up after the financial tsunami in Development Bureau. It was only a four-person office to provide one-stop advisory services to land development proposals from the private sector and from the NGOs. Okay, this has to be proven to be very effective to provide the first stop and the one stop to work with developers and NGOs on their respective land development proposals. DOO will come to an end in a few months' time, but we will reproduce the sort of DOO service in KEDO. So in future, you imagine if we still have another scheme like Kowloon Bay, where five developers join hands to invest and put into it a pedestrian walkway. That would be the scheme that the KEDO, through a small unit like the DOO, will help to take forward. So similarly, in Kwun Tong, if there are private developer redevelopment projects, but they need government support in various statutory procedures, they need to talk to us about how they could do the job better and so on. This would be the job of a KEDO. But there's one common thread that is shared by KEDO and KTO, and that is urban design. KTO's uniqueness lies in its emphasis on urban design, which normally is not of a high priority in the civil engineering aspects, including the new town development. Similarly, KEDO will put a lot of emphasis on urban design. So the two offices may still have to work hand in hand because I don't want the urban design elements to stop once it is outside Kwun Tong, once it is outside Kowloon Bay, or I don't want the KTO to just look at Kai Tak and not look at across the Kai Tak channel, the urban design on the harbourfront. So these two offices will probably have one common thread, and that is to jointly look at the urban design in this whole area. And adding Kowloon Bay and Kwun Tong to this project does not make it much, much larger, Peter. In terms of size, Kai Tak is 320 hectares. Kowloon Bay plus Kwantong, I mean only the industrial areas. We are not touching the residential areas north of Kwantong Road. It's only another 168. So it's actually half of Kai Tak. Together it's 500 hectares. So it is that sort of structure that we are contemplating. But as I said, not until we go before LegCo to create offers, the thinking may still change while we are thinking about it. The point about whether this Harbourfront Commission and the Task Force on Kai Tak needs to reconfigure or refocus, at the moment, probably not. But there is one aspect which I would love the Harbourfront Commission to really give us more advice, is on the use of the water body. Because now that it's not just Kai Tak, there is a hinterland called the Kowloon Bay and Kwantong. That strip of water, both in terms of the Kai Tak approach channel and the Kwantong typhoon shelter, is now becoming far more important. And perhaps that is where the energy is to come from. When we choose the word energizing, we're actually thinking of, we need to inject energy into the old areas. So where does that energy come from? Then I think the water body has a great role to play. But whether it will be taken forward in the Kai Tak Task Force or in the fourth water land that we have set up is something that we could deliberate on later. But for the time being, we are bringing this plan to you this afternoon because we want to keep the Harbourfront Commission informed at every stage of the work. On timing, of course, we are also keen to accelerate as much as possible. But there are a few constraints. My colleagues in the CDD has already explained the interface with other major transport infrastructure, particularly Sartin Central Link. The other that affects the timing is, of course, a private sector initiative. So I hope Shuki could help us to spread the message amongst reader members that we are very serious about this area. So we want the private owners to come forward with good ideas on how to do it. But ultimately, there is still this challenge of multiple ownership of many of the buildings in Kwantong. Kowloon Bay is slightly better, but Kwantong is very difficult because of the split ownership. But we are also thinking on whether there are ways other than the compulsory sale for redevelopment ordinance that could help to unify the ownership to enable us to do this job faster and quicker. So perhaps we could leave it at that. We are happy to come back again maybe first quarter next year, CK, for the elevated system.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Obviously, the start of a long, long path and a long, long road. But I personally think government should be commended for this particular initiative. I think it does show foresight. It does respond, I think, to some of the economic challenges that Hong Kong is facing. But obviously, a lot to be done. Vincent, what I suggest in terms of being the monitor, if you like, monitoring progress and keeping an eye on the situation, we might well pull together the land water face in task force and your task force to look at the particular uses of the water. It could be a joint venture, I think. We could do it that way. But if members agree, we'll draw a line for today. I think we've had a good discussion, some ideas to take away, and obviously we look forward to seeing you first quarter when you'll obviously brief us in more detail on the transport solution. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman.